It's time to come together at Abby's Pizza for a legendary hour with your caveman football team. We're eating legendary pizza and talking all things caveman football. Presented by the Insurance Lounge, your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs. Stop by for your free quote. Insurance Lounge. Insurance simplified.
Welcome to the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a place to eat tonight, we've got caveman size savings for you here with Abby's half classic pepperoni and half big Hawaiian on sale for $26.99, and it'll feed a bunch of people. We got one coming here soon. This special pizza features two of Abby's most popular pizzas, the half pepperoni and the half Hawaiian. Oh, okay, once again, $26.99. Tell you what, you call 476-2133 and they'll deliver it to you. Probably have it to you before we, looky there. We start talking about pizza, and here comes one. Going to set it right down in the middle of the table. And now we have to talk after inhaling a great aroma. That is a good-looking pizza. At any rate, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Before we really get into the meat of things tonight, or the maybe I should say the pizza of things tonight, I do have a couple of announcements. First of all, the Oregon Ducks are playing tomorrow night Illinois?
Minnesota tomorrow night
at Eugene, and it will be broadcast right here on KAJO Radio. Now, if you're scratching your head saying, what about caveman football? Yes, we're going to broadcast caveman football live, but we're going to move it to our sister station, KLDR 98.3, streamed at KLDR.com. So just that little programming note before we get down to business tonight. Golly, Coach Kennedy is here with us, and Coach, last two programs I've opened by singing your praises about all your wins and everything, so we're not going to do that tonight. We're just going to ask you about your Halloween costume or your Halloween decorations. Did you do any good this year? Just got to get your feet back down on the ground
this
here.
Year, actually, no, I didn't get around to it. I felt a little bad. Christmas I'm looking forward to. I deck it out for Christmas.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. Getting any help for Christmas, or can you give us a hint?
We've been on the light map the last couple of years that you can drive around, and last year I spent a night dressed as the Grinch out on the street corner selling hot chocolate.
That was so you.
That was me.
Oh, all right, okay. All right. No, first of all, congratulations again. The conference voting coach of the year. Is that a surprise? How'd that make you feel?
It's a pretty cool honor, obviously. To be recognized by your peers in a pretty tough conference, but really it's a testament to me. That's a staff award. I mean, I'm the most visible figure on that staff, but we wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have the 17 guys on board. We talked in our coaches meeting about rowing the boat and what that meant to be rowing in the same direction for a common cause, and I've got a great group of guys that have been doing that, and I actually brought a couple with me later tonight to talk to.
Oh, we'll get to talk to them a little bit later on in the program. Let's put a note here that there's a special event going on at the high school. This is their Powder Puff Football Night, and the guys are involved with that, coaching the Powder Puffs.
Yes, yep.
So we'll tip our hats to them and meet some of your coaches and find out what it's really like to work for you tonight.
Exactly.
We're going to get your feet back
down. The inside scoop.
We're going to learn everything tonight. Now, once again, congratulations. And, of course, that means that you've had a pretty good season. Big upset last week. How long did it take to get the smile off your face?
It's still on there to some extent. These last 2 weeks, really. I mean, I know 2 weeks ago at West Salem wasn't technically a playoff game, but in many ways it was, as far as putting us in a position to get a game like we had Friday. And couldn't be more proud of the boys for back-to-back weeks of, you know, four-hour bus rides and playing tough teams and getting wins.
Big upset last week. Actually, you could probably consider the West Salem game an upset, too. So congratulations there. What went into getting that upset happen? You jumped out to a lead early, got an interception. What was going on the sidelines right there? Tell me about the mood of your charges, and did it change? Did it take a lift? What was going on the sidelines?
Well, I mean, it's obviously you want to jump out to an early lead. I mean, it's better to be up early than down early. But at the same time, one of the things that we've worked on with this group is there's a 48-minute football game, and there can't really be any, we're doing our best to not ride the highs or the lows because we expect things to change, especially against good football teams. And so I think it gave a little shot in the arm, and there was some confidence that was gained by scoring those first couple drives. But as has been the message all season long, it's 0-0 until that final horn sounds, and we've got to compete. But, yeah, there's no denying that I think
you try to
the sidelines were pretty.
You try to keep all on them even keel is what I'm hearing.
It is, yeah, and that's the key. I've been around long enough to see 21-point leads disappear on both ways, and so it's a matter of just staying focused.
Well, they certainly did come back and put up a lot of yardage. Tell me what it was like to defend that wing T.
Well, it's probably as easy to defend as it was to announce on who had the ball.
Did you hear? Oh, it was horrible.
That's the team we talked last week. Rely on a lot of misdirection. They're good at what they do. Those kids have been doing it since in their youth football program. They're running that offense as grade schoolers, and by the time they get to high school, they know they have a counter to anything they see defensively. They keep things as much as, you know, it's a running offense, and it is pretty heavily that. They have wrinkles that are wildly different in how you defend it, and they do a really good job of going back and forth on how they attack us. And we knew that was going to be tough all night. It was just going to be making plays at key times in the football game, and our defense did that.
Yeah, key times, what? Two interceptions?
Two interceptions.
Two interceptions, yeah. A punt return, or a kickoff return. Got it. And, of course, a couple of stops. And that basically boils down to how you came away with the win, isn't it?
Yeah, I think special teams came up huge, and we put an emphasis on that in playoff football, the theme to our special teams was every single play could decide this game, guys. We got to give effort. And in that game, we returned a kick for a touchdown, another one across the 50. We blocked a PAT, had a couple of great punts, put the ball in the end zone. I mean, special teams was key for us, and that blocked PAT then forced them to go for two, and we ended up getting that stop. And in a three-point game, there was 9-10 points won in special teams, which were pretty important.
It was incredible. And your words exactly, one play can change that game. And coming out of the fourth quarter, there were a couple of plays that could have changed that game. No question about it. Take me through that fourth quarter. What was that like for you on the sidelines? What calling plays, you tell me.
Well, yeah, we get into the fourth quarter. It's a one-possession game. They had just scored. We made a huge two-point conversion stop to keep it staying up two. And then had a great drive down the field. They defensively... early, we jumped on him with moving Brevik around the field. And, I mean, I think on one drive he had five catches and a touchdown. And then they had some counters, and at halftime they adjusted to that. And so that drive, though, in the fourth quarter, marched the ball on the field. Jordan Rosetta made a couple of big plays with his legs and picked up some first downs. We finally found a formation that we liked, and we were able to spring Trey for the touchdown that put us up. I guess it ended up putting us up nine, which was a huge score. And then it was a matter of let's hold on and make them run some clock, which our defense did. Those seconds couldn't have ticked off faster enough there at the end of the fourth quarter.
Stopped them down low in front of the goal line, within the 10-yard line. And time clicking down, and you put Rosetta under center. And the fumble. Okay, what went through your mind then? What is it, next play up? What do we do now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the adversity that you don't want, but you train for. And obviously going into that situation, we were in a tough spot. The ball was inside the five. They had two timeouts. We couldn't just take a knee or we'd be in the end zone taking a safety. Yeah. And now kicking off to them with a 7-point lead, so... The idea was let's try and run a sneak, get a couple yards, and then we can take a couple knees. But you freak things happen in football. We fumble it, and our defense is right back out on the field. I think there were about three different people who had texted me after the fourth down stop, congrats on the huge win, followed up by, never mind. And we just wanted to keep the viewers tuned in the whole time.
All right. Well, anybody who was listening was right on the edge, I'm sure, because... it looked like the last one holding the football was going to win that one. And you did. A big upset going on, and that got you to the point where now you've got another mountain to climb, Coach. Talking about the number three team in the state, Lake Oswego. We'll talk about what they present to you when we come back right after this two-minute caveman timeout.
Birthdays, office gatherings, and team parties taste better at Abby's. From our legendary lunch and Thirsty Thursday to our monthly giant special, there's always a reason to gather. Family-owned Abby's, your legendary pizza tradition. You asked, and it's back at Abby's. Two legends, one pizza. Half pepperoni, half big Hawaiian. All delicious. It's mouthwatering. Loaded with toppings and happily feeds a family. Order at Abby's.com before this legend disappears.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly, answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Is your home energy efficient? Poorly sealed windows, lack of insulation, hidden holes in your attic, your basement, and crawl space can mean you're paying to cool or heat the outdoors. Don't do that. Keep money in your pocket and call for an energy audit today with Indoor Airman. Plus, the higher the energy score is on your home, the better resale value you have. 541-295-3204. Indoor Airman, your energy conservation specialist.
From the woods to the fields to the gridiron, Black Flag Armory is proud to support all sports enthusiasts. Outfit yourself with all the proper gear for a successful hunting season with proper accessories, scopes, cases, slings, cleaning accessories, all the popular ammunitions, plus the hard-to-find ones. Black Flag is more than hunting with everyday carry guns and accessories available on Redwood Avenue Monday through Saturday in front of the Cedarwood. Then hurry in from the field for Friday night kickoff with the Caveman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza. This is the Caveman Corner. We're talking about football. Head Coach Kennedy is with us here talking about Caveman football and what happened last week and what is going to happen tomorrow night, this Friday night, when the Cavemen travel once again to Lake Oswego. That game will be heard on our sister station, KLDR Live. In the meantime, though, Coach, Lake Oswego offers some big problems. And when I say big, I'm talking about bodies. And it's a senior-laden squad. They've got a lot of, at least two D1 commits, as I understand, both running backs. Tell me what you see in that team, and what are their strengths?
They're as talented a team as I've seen on film. And they got talent in a lot of different positions. They're big up front. Their quarterback, I think, is a Washington State commit. Their running backs are good. It's a good football team, and we've acknowledged that with the boys that. Most of these boys in today's world of social media and kind of the traveling circuits, they know who a lot of these kids are. And so, Lake Oswego's a good football team, boys. And we're not going to hide from that. But at the same time, our options are I could call and forfeit right now. Or we're going to load the bus and we're going to go up there and we're going to battle.
No, well, this is an opportunity if it comes down to one of those plays at the end, You've got the guys focused, and there's no doubt in my mind that you can score on this big team. You've got that explosive offense and lots of people, and we'll talk about some of those people in a moment or two when we get to the all conference selections. But in the meantime, let's see. I think LaMarcus Bell, number two, has got to be one of your big targets. Any special plans for him? He's their running back commit, I think, to D1.
Yeah. I mean, again, they're balanced enough offensively, and they do a good job. Their really scheme is fairly simple, but they have nice counters to all their base plays. And so, as much as you'd think, hey, they have a D1 tailback focused in on him, they have weapons outside of him, and he might only carry the ball 10, 15 times a game because they've got other weapons that they're looking to distribute the football to.
All right, primarily running or passing? Are they going to be even?
They're going to run more than pass. At least what we've seen on film is they're probably 60-40, maybe 65-35. They like to run the football. They love counter. They've loved counter. It's the same head coach that's been there for 20 plus years, and they love running counter. They do it in a couple of different ways. They run some fly motion and fake handoffs to the wide receiver guy, but their offense is still based on running behind a big offensive line and running counter.
And from what I've been able to see, they're four or five different backs to run the football.
Yeah, they'll hand the ball off to. I mean, you'll see four different guys getting their hands on the football at various points during that game.
All right, so primarily a running team that will throw the football. So tell me about their quarterback. Can you get to him?
Quarterback's he's good too. He's a senior, a 6'4", pretty fast, athletic kid with a pretty live arm. They do a lot. They roll him out a lot, whether it's off of a bootleg or just a straight roll to get him out of the pocket. So he's a threat then with his legs and with his arm.
So he's a dual threat man.
Yes.
So do you want to contain him or do you want to force him out of that pocket?
I mean, to the extent that we can, we want to force him to work to a secondary read, right? On film, he's a guy that has a super live arm, but when he doesn't go, when his first read isn't there, he tends to just try and force it with his legs, and we want to work that to our advantage.
So you're going to depend a lot on your secondary then. You're going to pull very many up to the line of scrimmage to stop the run?
We'll be our defense will look pretty similar to how it's looked every other week.
All right, so we'll see a little of both then.
Yeah.
All right. Do they have a defensive Achilles heel that you can exploit? How are you going to attack them?
They don't necessarily have a guy that stands out on film as a weakness. Defensively, they run a three-man front, which we've seen a few times this year, with pretty athletic, talented guys across the field. The thing that they have is they'll start 22 different kids. There's a few that play both ways, but they're also able to line up 11 different starters on offense than on defense. And what we've talked about this week is, you know, they haven't had to play very many four-quarter football games, and that's our goal. We've been tried and tested, and we play four-quarter football games. And so if we can keep it close and put the pressure on them, right? I mean, this is all pressure on them. They're expected to win the state championship. Anything short of that is probably a failed season for them. And so if we can go out there and compete like we have and keep things close in the fourth quarter, let's see how they handle the pressure.
Well, you quoted as, what was that, as playing with house money, something like that?
Yeah, our theme this week is house money.
Yeah?
Yep. At this point, and it's not that we're satisfied, but it's that we're playing free. We're playing loose. The pressure is on them.
Pressure's on them, right. You can't do anything wrong up there.
Yeah. I mean, we're going up there to play K-Man football and give it the best shot, and if we trust that if we can get ourselves in a good position, our kids believe. But no matter what, you're going to see a team that's playing with pride and playing hard.
All right, no doubt about that. Any difference in the way you're going to attack the trip itself in terms of leaving earlier or later or what you're going to do on arrival or along the way?
No, we last week we were a little pressed for time because busing was tough, but our district's been really great this week. Worked around some obstacles, but we're going to get on the road a little bit earlier this next week because we expect some, you know, you get that Portland traffic. And then stick with our routine. You know, we've found I'm a big routine guy and, you know, having a structure and knowing what's expected next. And so our pregame routine takes a couple hours by the time we get to kickoff. And our goal is to get up there early enough to stick with that routine and get ready to go.
All right. Well, we'll ride along with you here and enjoy the outcome. All right. We mentioned we're voted Coach of the Year by your conference. And incidentally, it's one of the biggest conferences in the state, 9 teams in this conference. Good Lord. At any rate, after all that voting, lots of people were also voted onto that. So let's talk about some of those young men. I'll run down a name, and you tell me what. Just give me a brief synopsis of your impression. And, of course, the Offensive Player of the Year, also the first-team wide receiver, also a first-team defensive back, Brevik Hill. Mr. Do everything for you. So tell me about Brevik as a coach.
Yeah, Brevik is a in the coach speak or the athletic speak. He's a dog. That kid plays hard all the time. I pulled him aside yesterday, and just commended him. I mean, congratulated him on the success, but also talked about, hey, this is success that's earned. He has that unique combination of elite talent and elite work ethic, because day in and day out, in fact, yesterday I had to pull him out of scout team. And he's like, I just want to make the team better, coach. I'm like, yeah, we need you healthy. The kid just goes hard all the time, and that hard work has paid off with a really successful season.
Successful season for the young man. How's his head?
His head?
Yeah. Has this gone to his head? Is he relishing this?
I think he's super proud of it. I mean, these kids have goals, and when they can see those goals come to fruition, I think there's a level of satisfaction. But like I said, he's a kid who I think he's got tons of confidence in himself, but he's not above working hard or working harder than anybody else on that team. So
okay, we're still on the first team. First team quarterback Jordan Rosetta.
Yeah, super proud of him. He was in a league chock full of really good quarterbacks. He still stood out amongst the coaches as a unanimous pick for first team all conference. Kind of a captain and leader of our team, solid every single night, has made tons of progress with mechanics and decision-making and composure, and just super proud of him.
All right. Still, what's first team right now? First team kicker, Alejandro Leon.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about him in a couple of weeks in a row. A weapon as a kicker, whether it's onside kicking, pooch kicking, or blasting PATs and field goals. We don't just have a kicker. We feel like we have a weapon back there.
For a soccer player, he has really embraced the tactics and the techniques needed to be successful in football, hasn't he?
He has
really stepped up.
And he works at his craft. I mean, he's at football practice every day working on kicking for a couple hours.
All right, now let me point out something here. And we're talking about the first team of conference players here with Hill, Rosetta, Powers, and Leon. All juniors?
Yeah, all juniors.
You're a lucky son of a gun, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I feel very fortunate. And we didn't talk about Trey. Trey, another just animal for us in the backfield, runs super hard.
Did I miss Trey?
You did miss Trey.
All right, pardon me. All right, Trey Powers. It's small print, we're in a dark corner, folks. Yeah, tell me about Trayton Powers now.
Oh, no, he's had, obviously, he broke school records in back-to-back weeks. He's about as explosive as they get, but also just a tenacious competitor, a little undersized, especially as the season wore on, but you wouldn't know by the effort that he gives as he attacks every run play as if he expects to score.
All right, let's move on here. Lots of names to get to today. All right, now we're down to second team here, and second team number three, Nate Bassett. I'm surprised he's on the second team.
Yeah, that was a tough one. He ended up second team tight end and defensive back. Last year he was on the first team for defense, and in a really tough conference. I think they gave it to five, and he ended up being the sixth on that list. Had a couple of weeks where I think his body got a little banged up and he didn't perform necessarily at the level that he would expect. But if you take those 2 weeks out, he was the heart and soul of our defense for much of the year.
All right, team center, number 53, Deshaun Stinson.
Yeah, Deshaun, also second team on both sides of the football, D-line and center. Did an absolutely great job for us on both sides. And again, we had a lot of linemen playing a lot of snaps both ways, and him being one of them. And the coaches recognized that on both sides.
Second team wide receiver, James Traylor. Tell me about James.
James, absolute explosive weapon for us. I think he finished the year with 9 touchdowns. He was a guy that teams had to game plan against. You know, we put him, isolate him on the boundary, and he drew a lot of double coverage for chunks of the season. And then when teams didn't do it, he would have a huge night and score a handful of touchdowns. And so his first year playing wide receiver, it was a really dynamic year.
All right, I've got to ask about his health right now because I know he was out last game with a hamstring.
Yeah, he's going to be a game-time decision, I think, but he's looked good in practice these last couple of days and is excited to try and get back out there.
Yeah, he was a little frustrated last Friday night, looking over our shoulders here. I'm sure he was. All right. Let's see. Tiny print again. Let's get down to the second team. Elijah Anderson, offensive tackle.
Hernandez, yeah.
Hernandez.
Elijah Hernandez. Okay, love you, sweetie. Elijah, a junior, played a little bit for us last year. And, again, another kid who I think he got honorable mention on the defensive side of the football.
Yes, he did.
Played a ton of snaps on both sides and was kind of the anchor for both groups. He's a pretty quiet, unassuming kid, but he was tough to move, and offensively, I don't think he left the field once.
All right. Another name that we've called a lot and a lot more, we've been calling it more recently, I think, the second-team linebacker, number 22, Tyler Meek.
Yeah, Tyler Meek missed our first four games, I think.
Right, Coach?
Missed the first four games with an injury and came back against South Med. And since that point, you'd probably assume if he'd stacked nine games, he would have been a first-team all-conference linebacker because he's physical, he's fast. He brings a lot of passion to the game, and really, when he came back, our defense really started to click.
All right, honorable mention, couple of guards there on offense, Colton Markey and Titan Davis.
Yeah, a sophomore and a senior. Colton, the only senior on that offensive line, a kid who I'm super proud of the progress that he made over 4 years, sticking with it. And watching himself grow into a key member of this football team is something I think he should be super proud of. And Titan, as a sophomore, to be playing both sides of the football on the line of scrimmage as a sophomore, tough kid, super physical, had a great year.
All right, another honorable mention, offensive side, running back Weston Berg.
Yeah, Weston, and we saw glimpses of that, right, the first half against West Salem. He was dynamic. He knew and was a great teammate all season long that he happened to be stuck behind a pretty talented kid, but never stopped believing in himself. And when we needed to call on him, he stepped up and made plays, and it was great that the conference recognized that talent.
Another honorable mention, defensive end Jet Stewart.
Yeah, Jet, another one of our seniors who ended up, I think, either first or second on our team in tackles for a loss and sacks. Athletic and explosive kid. He's the strongest kid in our program. Used to play running back and wide receiver back in grade school, so he brings an athleticism and to the defensive side of the ball and made some big plays for us.
Another linebacker whose name we've been calling a lot more recently, Parker Howe.
Yeah, Parker Jr., really came on as the season went along. He played a decent amount of football last year as a sophomore and had a little bit of a slow start to the season this year. We challenged him a little bit on stepping up in some ways. And I think I was talking to the coaches the other night. He had 17 tackles Friday night against Sherwood. I mean, he really has come on strong at the end of the year.
All right, Coach, an incredible list there of young men who have really added to this program. And the key here is there weren't very many seniors there. So, once again, you've got a lot of talent coming back. And I wanted, before we move on to the second half of the program, I did want to ask about some injuries because we just talked about Traylor for just a moment or two. So we expect him back, game time decision. And Berg, of course, suffered that, I believe, a shoulder injury. And I think he's out. Is that right?
He is, yeah. He's out.
All right. Are there any other players that you're missing or hobbled or are game time decisions in terms of injuries?
No, health wise, it's week 11, and it's
everybody's in week 11.
Week
yeah.
three of the playoffs, yeah. as far as we're concerned, going back to West Salem. So we're banged up, but apart from Weston's injury against West Salem, we've got everybody who's been on the depth chart ready to go.
Okay, have you talked to the basketball coach and apologized for Berg?
Well, I think the prognosis is he's hoping to maybe be back come January. So,
all right,
his season's not lost. He's just going to be late to the game.
All right, well, we'll cross our fingers to the young man. Once again, I want to make a programming announcement here. I don't want anybody to miss the Caveman football game broadcast live tomorrow night on a different radio station, KLDR 98.3. and streamed at KLDR.com. And the reason for that, of course, is the Ducks are playing on Friday night, and we have a contract with the Ducks that we can't move. So they will be here on KAJO Radio. They'll kick off at 6. I think the pregame starts about 4. For Caveman Football on KLDR, we'll be kicking off at regular time at 7 o'clock with a pregame at 6:30. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the first half of our program tonight, coming to you live from the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza. Still time to join us. We've got a lot more coming in the second half program. We'll talk to more of the coaching staff that are really behind our head coach here, Mr. Kennedy, and help guide all these young men. That's coming up when we come back. You're listening to Caveman Corner here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Tired of the insurance runaround? At Insurance Lounge, we do things differently. Open 7 days a week, we make it easy to get coverage when it works for you. Our licensed agents, non-commissioned. That means no pressure, just honest advice tailored to your needs. And as an independent broker, we shop multiple top carriers to find the best value on home and auto, Medicare and health, even help with retirement solutions to protect your hard-earned savings. With 4 locations in Oregon, visit your local stores in Grants Pass or Medford today. Your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs.
Farmers Building Supply, your local Do It Best stores in Grants Pass and Cave Junction, is proud to sponsor the Grants Pass Cavemen. We love the excitement of supporting our local athletes, whether at home or taking the competition on the road. No matter whether a home or away game, you can always catch us supporting our Grants Pass Cavemen, just like Grants Pass supports our family-owned store. Go Cavemen! Farmers Building Supply, creating confident solutions together for your home, farm, and ranch.
Evergreen Federal Bank, serving our community and serving you locally. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
99.7 and 1270 KAJO Grants Pass.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. With the government reopened, back pay for federal employees will soon be on the way.
The first batch of so-called super checks paying federal employees from October 1st through November 1st will go out on Saturday. All federal workers are scheduled to receive paychecks missed during the government shutdown by the middle of next week.
Fox's Jared Halperin. An administration official goes after a longtime truck critic Congressman Eric Swalwell, referring him for a federal criminal probe.
A government agency thinks that they spotted something that is possibly illegal on mortgage documents from Swalwell. The Justice Department will now review these documents to see if a prosecutor believes that charges are worthy.
Fox's Peter Ducey. America's listening to Fox News.
Planning your own addition for extra space or that accessory dwelling unit? But the planning, permitting, acquiring supplies, and execution could interfere with your real life. Don't hesitate to contact the professionals at Lifer Excavation and Construction, 778-0315. Lifer Excavation and Construction specializes in custom homes, but they do so much more. The professionals at Lifer are local, and they understand the local permitting process. They have all the equipment needed to complete your project, plus the buying power to acquire all the supplies needed. Then comes the execution. The pros at Lifer Excavation and Construction, doing the work with pride and precision. So, for that addition, detach garage or workshop, even site preparation, or your custom home, contact Lifer Excavation and Construction. Go to their website or call 778-0315. That's 778-0315. Lifer Excavation and Construction, making customers for life, one project at a time. CCB number 239-660.
Welcome back to the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza, ladies and gentlemen, for the Caveman Corner. Listen, if you're hungry, don't want to go home and cook, I don't blame you. Just pull in here and order that half Hawaiian, half pepperoni. The large is on sale for $26.99. And if you just want to go home and do it as you're leaving your shopping or whatever you're going, just check it in with your cell phone, dial 541-476-2133 and say, why don't you deliver that pizza to me at my home? And they'll probably get it to you about the same time you're getting home. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the second half of the Caveman Corner here. This is where we normally talk to some of the football players themselves, but they're involved in that powder puff game that happens every year about this time. And so, Coach Kennedy, what have you done here to enlighten us for the second half hour?
Entertain you tonight?
Yeah. They're the entertainment tonight.
Yeah, I brought a couple of the assistant coaches, and again, as I was saying earlier when you were talking about the coach of the year stuff, I couldn't be blessed with a greater staff. A lot of these are two guys I've coached with for about a decade. Robbie Zina, who's coordinator in our defense, and then Kyle Swanson, who's the run game coordinator for the offense.
All right, Coach, thank you.
Yep.
Now, so they can talk freely, go away.
Yep, I'm out.
All right. Is it Kyle? Was that right?
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, step right up there. All right, the coach is out of earshot. What's it like to really work for him?
I stepped away from football for a while. I was here when Mus was here. I was here with Tom Blanchard, actually. And then I stepped away.
God, you and I are old.
Yeah. I stepped away when Mus retired. And when Matt got the job, he came and talked to me. And I've worked with him before. And I needed to know that, you know, the program is going to be in the right hands, that it was going to be focused on culture and raising good young men. And I think one of the things that I really appreciate about Matt is that's the focus. We are focused on making sure that we do right by these kids and right by the community. And I think the other thing that I really appreciate about Coach Kennedy is just organization. I am not an organized person, and so I depend on other people to be organized for me. And, you know, we've got practice plans that are down to the minute. We script every single play, like everything. It just runs like clockwork. I mean, even trips up north, like everything is planned out. The kids are on a certain bus. We stop at a certain place. We eat at a certain time. I mean, our pregame is regimented down to the minute. And I just think that, you know, that's how you have that consistency and build those routines with the boys. And so I really appreciate that as well. So I enjoy it a lot.
I hear not only from the coaching staff, from you, but I hear from the young men, too. Culture, culture, culture. That's what this whole team seems to revolve around, is culture. And where does that start? Does it start with Mr. Kennedy? At the very first meeting, when does it start? How do you develop that culture?
Well, and I do think that it actually does start even higher. I mean, the superintendent was very intentional in hiring Coach Kennedy, that he wanted someone that was going to focus on building a positive culture, something that was representative of this community. And that was a huge part of the interview process. I mean, a lot of the questions that were asked by administration were about building culture, holding kids accountable, making sure that they're doing the right things. And that being said, I think it starts all the way at the district. But then, I mean, from the very beginning, the first conversations I had with Coach Kennedy were not X's and O's, not what kind of offense we were going to run, what kind of defense we were going to run. It's how we're going to set up a program that is going to build character within these young men. And it's been very intentional from the beginning. Everything that has been planned out has been planned in a way of, like, this is going to be the focus of the program.
All right. How did you I want to find out exactly how you got here. Let's go back. What kind of qualifications do you bring to the program? You mentioned Blanchard and Musk. And two legends here on the coaching side of things. Prior to that, player, coach, where did you cut your teeth?
I grew up in Salem. My dad was a head coach at McNary High School, and I played at McNary High School. And then I started coaching track and wrestling, actually. I coached track and wrestling at South Salem High School for a couple years. Continued to coach track and wrestling at Douglas High School in Winston. And then when I moved to Grants Pass, I started doing football, wrestling, and track. Did a couple years at the middle school. Tom Blanchard brought me up. I did a couple years of freshman ball there. Muss's first year as head coach, I came up to JV, and actually Zynda did some JV with me. It was me, Zynda, and Wakefield for, gosh, probably 6-7 years. Maybe, I don't even know.
Go ahead, lean into that.
I think it was pretty close to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so I was doing the offensive coordinating at the JV level. Zion was doing defensive coordinating at the JV level. Wakefield was the JV head coach, special teams coordinator. And I was doing varsity running backs then. So I think I started doing varsity running backs. I'm going to sound old, probably 2011. Maybe 2010, somewhere in there. And I've done running backs at Grants Pass High School pretty much ever since then. So all the way through Musser's tenure, and then I'm still doing running backs with Coach Kennedy now.
Okay, me and we started doing this 1988.
Okay.
All right, so at any rate, and this is the first time we've really had to talk.
Yeah, I mean, I've sat here and watched you tons of times when Musser was going, but yeah, we haven't talked.
All right, now, your focus here now is the running backs for Grants Pass. And you're kind of blessed with them, aren't you?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I walked into just an absolute full stable. And, I mean, even from the younger kids, like, we've got a lot of very talented kids. And, I mean, just looking at the top of it, you've got, you know, Trayton, who is a first-team all-league kid. You've got Weston, who is an honorable mention kid. And then Logan Eldred's a great running back as well in his own right. And then, you know, a ton of JV kids. So we've got a lot of talent at the running back position.
All right. What sets Mr. Powers apart?
Well, I think...
Can you put a finger? Can you point to something?
I mean, what I look for is, I think, two things that really set him apart. The first is his vision. He's got great vision, and that's something that's hard to coach. We work on it, but he sees the hole. He sees the grass, and I think the second thing is he's really definitive in his cuts. A lot of times running backs can get a little bit too hesitant in the hole, and when they're too hesitant, they're just allowing the defense to basically fill, and that hole that was there is gone. And Trayton really is like a one cut back. He puts a foot in the ground, he gets north-south, and, I mean, his acceleration is next level. Like, I don't know if I've seen acceleration like that since Zach Hannon, and you know that name. I mean,
no doubt.
It's amazing.
Okay, okay. So you're blessed with a talented athlete. How do you hone all of those natural skills that he has?
Well, I think it's really getting down to the basics. And, you know, we really did focus a lot this year on trying to develop those, the ability to read the defense, right? And that goes all the way back to pre-snap. Where are the linebackers pre-snap? What shades are the defensive line in pre-snap? You know, this is your aiming point, but if the D-line's here, our aiming point's probably going to have to change a little bit. Are they blitzing, right? And then we do a lot of defensive recognition drills where they are reading things on the run and developing those instincts of when things are flowing this way, I need to go this way, or if the hole is going to collapse here, I need to bounce it and go somewhere else. And the other part of that is just a ton of meeting time, a ton of film study. We did a lot of that in the summer, right? And really looking at, like, you know, we looked at a lot of Grant's pass offense, honestly, from previous years, and just, you know, how those holes develop, where the running lanes are, what you do when they collapse, that sort of thing. And then another big focus we had this year, especially early on throughout the summer, was focusing on pass pro, like making sure that we are doing our job in pass protection and protecting the quarterback.
All right, that's all part of it. All right, now, no doubt, Powers was incredible. He had another pretty good back behind him in Berg.
Yeah.
So tell me about Weston.
Weston is unbelievably hardworking. I mean, just a kid that's absolutely dedicated to Grants Pass High School football, works hard in the weight room, works hard in the classroom, works hard on the football field. He's a great teammate. I know that Coach Kennedy talked about him earlier. I don't think I heard him say that in the first half of the season, Westonberg scored in every single touchdown, or every single football game, sorry. So, I mean, the snaps that he got, he took advantage of them, and he did a great job for us when he had that opportunity to take over the lead back job.
Well, he did, didn't he?
That first half, he had 126 yards and a half of football. It's just like he was running lights out, and we went back and watched the film. He was running so hard, just running through kids, running over kids, fighting for every single yard. And I think that's just a testament to who he is as a football player, but also just who he is as a person.
We compared the two running backs, Powers and Berg. Berg was the battering ram. Is that a fair analogy? Is that a fair nickname for him?
I said something fairly similar to them in the summer. Those two reminded me, and again, you'll remember this, of when we had Hannon and Dean. Zach Hannon was kind of the speed, the outside back, the one that could, you know, kind of take the top off the defense. But we used Dean to hammer at people. I mean, it was Dean who scored that two-point conversion against South Medford High School when we were down on the goal line. And they had similar running styles. Dean really does, or I'm sorry, I guess Berg reminds me of the way that Dean ran. They're also built a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact, a little bit thicker, and the way that they hit the holes was real similar as well. So, I mean, I think that's probably the best comparison for me.
All right. Well, we get Powers back. He's a junior, so we get Powers back. Berg's caveman days, at least in the football uniform, are gone. Salute to Mr. Berg. And what do we have coming up here? And I hear good things about both the JV and freshman.
Yeah, I mean, the freshmen are super talented, and I mean, you can go even further down. The middle schoolers are really talented as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of good athletes coming up through the program. When you look at Grants Pass High School, I mean, I already mentioned his name once. Logan Eldred is a very talented running back. He got some reps at JV this year. He's gotten some varsity reps as well, and I think he's going to be a good complement and someone that's going to help us out a lot next year. We had some good running backs at the JV level as well. I mean, the one that jumps out to me is Howie Craven. That kid runs unbelievably hard, and he is surprisingly fast. It kind of reminds me of like an Alex Jarvis. I don't know if you remember him. Alex Jarvis had this speed where he didn't look like he was moving fast, but he was moving really fast. It was just deceptive, and I think Howie runs kind of like
that. It was smooth.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, wow, Howie's real. Oh, well, there he goes. So, I mean, I think, you know, we've got a good future there as well. And there's a couple other younger kids. Chase Towson got hurt, but he shows a lot of potential. I really like this Ryan Glenn kid. He's kind of short and compact. I like the way he runs. Even someone like Jack Gordon, I mean, that kid does so much for us. And the cool thing is all these young kids, they're so bought in. They are just, they want to be Grants Pass cavemen. They want to do everything they can to help the program. And, I mean, we really appreciate everything. I mean, they're our scout team right now, and they're making our defense better every single day.
Okay. Let's get culture. All right. Robbie, move into here. Let's get some defense talked about here.
Absolutely.
you get equal time, you know.
No, it's the worst
time
of all.
All right. Don't those running backs need to pay to get in?
Tomorrow night, I think they do, definitely. Yeah, Laco is going to be tough tomorrow night. They're going to be the real deal.
All right. First of all, tell me about your background and what you bring to the team here.
I played football from the time I was 8 years old until I was 22, and then got the opportunity to be a graduate assistant at the Division II level. I went from there down to Arizona, coached 1 year of 6A football, and then I came home. So I'm originally from Lebanon, Oregon. Got to go back and coach at my alma mater, and I thought I was going to be there forever, and unfortunately a budget cut happened. And I was on the road, and I applied for every PE job in the state of Oregon, K through 12. And I came down and visited Grants Pass, and I said, this is the place. If I get the job, this is going to be the spot.
Landed so here,
been,
huh?
I've well, been here ever since.
We're glad you're here. And how long have you been here now?
The 2015-16 school year was my first year here. So,
only 11 years.
Yeah, Anthony Del Toro, Dylan Hanley, that was my first year down here.
What Del Toro? What a one to start with, huh?
Oh, he was amazing. I mean, his hands and his hips were unbelievable on the D line. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone that explosive that was that big before.
Agile and fast with all that size.
Oh yeah,
incredible. At any rate, tell me about everyone I'm talking to tells me about culture. Give me your take on the culture of Grants Pass football.
I think Coach Kennedy is establishing a process of doing the right thing all the time. You know, we don't reward playing time by being late to class or being absent, right? It's every single rep, every single class period. You know, you got to be able to carry the books if you want to carry the rock. And he makes it really easy to coach for. Really, really easy.
All right. You don't have to kiss up. He can't hear you. Here.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I'm not. Let me see. Tell me about the defense that you're going to deploy against Laco.
Well, you know, we've been primarily in a 4-3 all season long, and that was a little bit of a battle when me and Kennedy first got together and we were talking, because when everyone went 4-2, I became a 4-2 guy. And then he goes, well, I really like this 4-3 look. What do you think about it?
And you told him.
And I said, well, I'm not really sure. And he goes, well, what about if we take the outside backers and we bounce them out of the box and we play a 4-1 box? And I go, Coach, we are going to get eaten up like Swiss cheese. And now, a couple weeks ago, I looked at him and I go, man, I don't know if I want to play in anything but this 4-1 box we've been in all year. So, you know, we're going to look very similar Friday night to what we've been doing. We do a lot of split coverage. We'll play some man. We'll spy guys at certain times based on down and distance and some tendencies that we think Laco has. But the truth of the matter is that we have to limit their explosive plays because they are so dynamic on the offensive side of the ball at running back, quarterback, and receiver. And that will be the tail of the tape for us. Can we limit explosive plays? Can we make them play in the second half? And that's something that we've talked about defensively all week long, is can we lure them out into deep water? You know, they've played in the shallow end most of the year. They've played one game where their starters have played all four quarters. And we want them to play us four quarters.
All right. You think you can wear them down? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's got to be the game plan, right? So we got to see if they're in great shape. We know they're healthy, but where's their stamina, right? If we can limit their explosive plays, are they going to be tired by the fourth quarter? Are we going to see some lactic acid buildup? Are those guys that are really fast still really fast when they're tired? And that's, I think, our biggest advantage, is we got to get them there. We got to get them out into deep water.
That's the CCs of Grants Pass football, culture and conditioning right now. Is that right?
Absolutely. And you know, culture. I think we've gone into one or two games this year where we are equally matched in terms of size. And that was Sherwood, who's pretty old school gadget team, and Sheldon, who is very depleted. Every other game we are much smaller and probably the underdog, but there's a lot of fight.
And that's going to be the case this Friday night. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. I mean, we go into our Monday meeting, and it's, guys, I'm saying the same thing for the ninth week in a row. They're bigger at every spot up front than we are. They are faster at every receiver and back position than we are, right? They are highly touted. And are we ready to step up to that challenge?
All right. And what do you tell them?
Well,
Or how do you overcome it?
I think
because
for us,
you have.
Yeah, I think for us is there, we got to have that sense of belief, and I think we built that. You know, maybe we didn't have it in week two, but we're not the same football team we were in week two. We probably weren't that way in week five, and Coach Kennedy talks about this too, which is something that we love about him. Sprague, we were close. That was our best road trip of the year. Our guys were prepared. We came up short. They felt it. We went back to work. We could have backed off. We could have ran and tucked our tails. And guess what? We played a bigger team the next Friday in West Salem, and we went up there and we got it done. And I think that confidence he talks about, that was our first week of the playoffs. That was the difference in us playing in the big bracket or the other bracket. And then we go up to Sherwood and another great test and got it done, right? And that game was about limiting explosive plays because they were going to run the ball no matter what we did. They've seen every front we could imagine giving them. They have their rules. We were going to try and confuse them. We tried to play our game. We did play our game. We limited them on the offensive side of the ball. We made them throw when they didn't like throwing, and we took advantage at least twice, right,
absolutely,
in that situation.
Yeah.
And then we made stops at the end of the game when we needed to.
You mentioned conditioning, and we've been talking about conditioning all year. But at Sherwood, against that at Wing T, there were times when we looked out, and it looked like some of your defenders out there were tired. So hands on hips, just that constant, they'd run left, they'd run right, and rip off 10 yards on you.
Yeah, I mean, there were times I looked out there, and two names we had mentioned tonight, Elijah Hernandez and Titan Davis, they'd look over at the sidelines, and I saw their hands on their hips for some of the first times I've seen all year. And from a defensive coaching standpoint, it's, you know, hey, our pads are getting up high. We got to stay down low. I know you're tired, right? Feel the block in front of you, fight it, counteract it, and let's make these guys run six, seven more plays and see what happens in the red zone.
All right. So you got some surprises defensively for Laco, the Lakers, for number two?
You know, he's a really good back. And we will be successful if we can get on his legs early. You know, he's not someone you can tackle up high and expect to bring him down. So our theme at West Salem, and we've been building on this week after week, was chop down the tree. You know, 1,000 hacks at that tree, it's going to fall down. And that's how we got to play Laco Friday night. You know, they're going to be dynamic in the first quarter. But we got to limit them, and we got to take our shots, and we got to get guys on the ground.
All right, as a coach, you looking forward to something like this?
Absolutely.
This is your challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's something you think about, but you don't prepare any differently than you would for week one or week two. There's no more, no less, you know, and that's something that we've established as a culture when we talk culture. We're putting in the same effort week one as we are week 11, right? And our boys know that. Are we ready? I believe so.
All right. Ready? All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are your boys ready?
Offensively, I think we're ready.
Yeah. Offensively, we're ready. Okay. Offensively and defensively, we're ready. Coach has rejoined us here, so keep it calm, boys. I don't want to say anything bad with the big man here.
Yeah.
Or good, because his head is already... he's had enough accolades in the last two or three weeks anyway. Deservedly so, but at any rate. Caveman football. Tell me about caveman football overall, generally. Because you've been around it for a long, long time. It's had ups and downs. It's changed. Lots of things have changed about football. The rules have changed. But Grants Pass is a football town. What changes have you seen?
Well, I think more importantly is what changes I haven't seen. If you go down to Mel Ingram on a Friday night, it's one of the most special environments you're going to find. I mean, I tell my buddies that live on the East Coast or down in California or whatever that we have a football stadium that doesn't have a track around it, that our football team comes down through a tunnel and the doors open up on 3,000 people in a marching band that's 180 strong playing a fight song. Like, it's old school football, and the community really supports Grants Pass football, and I truly appreciate that about this community. And it's just that feeling on Friday nights, the excitement of football, it just reminds me of what it used to be. And we go to places like West Salem or South Salem or even like Sheldon. In their heyday, they had maybe 150 people in the stands. They didn't have a marching band.
Nothing compares, does it?
No. And so, like, it's just, I think Grants Pass football thrives off of the town of Grants Pass. And I think also give something back to the town of Grants Pass. And I think that's what we're trying to do, again, with that culture thing that you just keep bringing up. Like, we want the boys to recognize that they get so much from this community and to give back to the community in return and to represent their community in a way that the community can be proud of them.
All right, Robbie, you've coached a lot of different places. Tell me about the differences here. Is it what we've outlined? Is it just a facility, or what else goes along with that?
I think being in a community like this one that's a 6A town that's proud, and it's also a one-horse town. There's nothing else pulling our community, right? There's not two other high schools in, 2 miles of each other where, the game's split up. It's all right here, right? You can go down the street and you can see in our windows of our buildings downtown the We Are GP. You see our firefighters and our police officers with the We Are GP, right, in the window of those vehicles. And that's something we're about. It's not just football. It's not just the high school. It's not just, the color guard and the band. It's all of us together. And it makes doing the work easy, right, because you got something to play for, something to fight for, and something to build. And I think that's something that our boys take pride in doing.
All right. No doubt about it. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. Stay right there. I'm going to take just a little break and before we come back to wrap it up. But you're listening to the Caveman Corner, and we'll finish up right after this 2-minute Caveman timeout.
It's fall, and you know what that means. It's time for pumpkin spice and everything nice. Come into Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass and Medford for your pumpkin spice oil change. You thought 1040 weight oil was great. Wait till you try our special blend with cinnamon and nutmeg. Okay, we don't really have pumpkin spice oil changes. We do have the ability to keep your manufacturer's warranty in effect, have great coffee, snacks, Wi-Fi, comfortable waiting rooms, and the best staff around. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle but take care of you.
Tired of driving down that rough and bumpy driveway?
Let Moser Paving smooth out your driveway with grading, gravel, and some smooth and beautiful paving. Moser has been paving the way since 1965, so call the company that does it all. Utilities, demolition, leveling, rock deliveries, and of course, paving. Call the pros at Moser Paving, 479-2424. And don't forget to call Moser for your next rock delivery. That's 479-2424. Remember, 479-2424.
Savings and services available every day at Plaza Sewing and Vacuuming, along with all the supplies you need. Did you realize that knitting, quilting, crocheting, crafting, and sewing increases your mental acuity and physical dexterity? Everything you need is at Plaza, and always at Plaza's pleasing prices. Plus, Plaza's technicians are prepared to keep your vacuum at its peak with all the accessories you need. Open from 9:30 to 5 Monday through Friday, till 4 on Saturday, and noon to 4 on Sundays on 6th between H and I at Plaza Sewing and Vacuum.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is still the one you can trust when it comes to all your vehicle maintenance. They provide oil change services as well as other services like serpentine belt replacement, transmission, and radiator service. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your one stop for friendly, certified technicians and convenient drive-through service with no appointment necessary. They are still in that great and convenient location right next to Si Casa Flores, the corner of the Parkway and F Street. Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Caveman Corner coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza. Coach Kennedy has joined us. And, Coach, is it a prerequisite that all of your coaches have full beards this year?
These two certainly have some big ones, yeah.
Right. Well, if we're giving out prizes, well, in it. We won't get into that. But they're talking about the same things that we've been talking about all year. And anyone can jump in here because I'm kind of had my own phrase, a lot of CCs here. And we're not talking about engine sizes. We're talking about culture and conditioning. Are those two main things that are really carrying this football team? Is there another C that we need to put in there, another letter? Anyone?
Character.
Well, I was going to say that, too.
All right, character, all right.
But that's kind of part of culture, isn't it?
That's not cheap. I think I like that. Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
All right. So we've got three C's now. We've got character, conditioning, and culture. And tell me about these two and part of your staff. And what kind of relationship do you have alongside the field?
Yeah, well, these, and as I was saying when I introduced these two, I've coached with both of them for a decade now or more. And so just a whole lot of trust with this group. And a lot of the guys that are on the staff are guys that I've had some experience with, and some of them are new. And when we went, when I got hired and we went about the process of putting together a staff, I was pretty clear that, you know, that this program was going to have high expectations that extended beyond the football field, and I wanted guys on board that were excited about that same thing. And I'm super fortunate. I've got a great group of guys who know football, that connect well with kids, but who are also committed to that culture that we're talking about, that better than before, striving to make a difference in the world that we live in, and personally improve every day.
So it goes beyond the football field.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen, for final comment, Robbie, what do you think? Give me one last thought. Big mountain to climb tomorrow.
It's a big mountain, and I love the opportunity that we have to climb it.
Got to go climb it, all right. What do you think?
I think that we just need to make sure that our boys believe. And that's one of the things that's most impressed me about this group is I've had teams in the past that they don't think they can do it, but repeatedly this group of boys, they think they can do it. And if they continue that belief, then I think they can do anything, and they can rock and shock the state tomorrow night, and that would be awesome.
All right, well, they've already shocked the state. I've gotten some feedback. I want to reach out to make our arrangements. Congratulations on a big win. It was. All right, Coach Kennedy, last thought here before you go away.
Oh, I don't know that I have any special final words. We're really grateful for the opportunity, super appreciative for the support that we've gotten from our school, from our district, from this community, and excited to go up there and represent this community again in a quarterfinal football game. And we talk, those don't come around very often, and so we're going to enjoy the moment. We're going to go out and compete.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back here next Thursday night. Once again, I want to remind you that the football game for the Cavemen will be carried on our sister station, KLDR 98.3. Streamed at KLDR.com because of the Duck football game that will be here on KAJO tomorrow night. They kick off at 6 with the pregame at 4 o'clock. And for all of the Cavemen staff who has been here and the football players, we want to thank you all and our staff. Once again, you've been listening to the Caveman Corner here on KAJO Grants Pass.